Hello? Oh, it works. Well, at this time, the kids are free to go to children's church, and the rest of us, let's maintain a spirit of worship that's this beautiful presence of the Lord is so strong. So let's rise and raise up your Bibles, and as we give glory and honor to God for his word. Father, we thank you for your word is alive and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. My Bible's big, so I need to. Good morning, church. It's so wonderful to be with you today. So as I was praying for Sunday, February 12th, 2017, at my work, I work at a wholesaler, distributor of tile, and I work in an office, part of a warehouse, and there's a long driveway down from the facility, and then at the end of the driveway, there's this little gazebo in Manalapan that is run down, that has like moss growing up the sides, and it's like, it's abandoned, like the township just has forgotten about it, but it's like at the end of our property in the front of the main road there, and I go there sometimes to pray, and I have a lot of moments with God in that spot, and God speaks to me there, and he shared with me in that spot that he wants me to talk about hearing God's voice, which means that God wants to talk to you. God wants to speak to you on a personal level, because he's not about ritual, he's about relationship. He doesn't want, like, we can have the rituals, we can come to church on Sunday, we can lift our hands, we can sing, we can pray on Sunday morning, we can come together, we can give our offerings, our tithes, but all those things are just rituals, and they mean nothing if we don't have the relationship. But he wants to have a real personal relationship with us, and that includes hearing his voice, and we're big on hearing God's voice in this church, amen? We're big on that. But, you know, God might want to just reveal a little bit more about the character and what it means to hear his voice. So if you're a seasoned vet, or if you're a beginner at hearing God's voice, I just hope that this message will really, like, just help you to grow deeper in your faith and in your walk. You know, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." So it's actually, we're supposed to know his voice. You know, sometimes we might not get it. We might have doubts, but it's normal to know his voice. Jesus said it. And I just want to talk about, just by way of introduction, I want to, like, bring up Samuel. Now, Samuel was a great prophet in the Old Testament. He's the one that, like, anointed both Saul and David to be king of Israel. Samuel walked so close with God, like he can just hear God's voice, and he would just act on it, and he would know exactly what God is saying. Remember when Samuel went to David's family, and he went one by one, and God was like, "Nope, not that one, not that one, not that one." And then he went through all the sons, and there was God said no to everyone, and then God said, "There's another son that's not here," and how could anyone know that but God? How could anyone know that but God speaking to him? And so Samuel is like just a champion at hearing God's voice, but it wasn't always like that. We see in the beginning of his story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, at the time when Eli, who's a priest, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel, as a boy, a young boy, was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. He said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went back to lie down in that place. So Samuel is this guy who just knows God's voice so well, but there was a time in his life when he didn't. Three times he was fooled, thinking that Eli was calling him, but it was actually the voice of the Lord. And in my own life, I think about how I've known the Lord for so long. My mom instructed me on who Jesus was, even when she wasn't living right. I remember as a small child, 3 or 4, I remember being there with my mom and just at the side of her bed, and she prayed for me, and she had that old white King James Bible right there on the bedside, and she knows she wasn't living right, but she prayed for me, and ever since that moment, I experienced the presence of God, and I had the presence, even though I lived in a dark area where there was drugs and alcohol and fighting and abuse and police and robberies and all that stuff. Even though I had the presence, and I knew something about spiritual warfare, because I knew, like, when I had demonic dreams, I knew I could just say the name of Jesus and the demons would flee. And I grew up this way, but I didn't fully understand when the Lord was speaking. I didn't fully understand his voice. So it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a while and you think that you understand things about God, you might have all those things, but you might not understand his voice the way that he wants you to understand it. So I want to talk about just some of the ways that God speaks. And if you want to follow with me, you can follow me with me in Acts chapter 10. But I'm just going to start paraphrasing the whole story because there's a lot of scriptures here. So in Acts chapter 10, we find Cornelius. He's a good Italian man. He's in charge of a cohort of soldiers, and he's a good man. He's a devout man. He does the right thing. He gives to charity. He pays alms to the poor. He's a respectful, dignified person. He fears God. He doesn't really have like a really deep relationship with God, but he recognizes that there is a God out there, and I'm going to respect him. So in about the third verse, in the ninth hour of the day, he saw a vision, and an angel of the Lord came and spoke to him. And the angel gave him instructions where to find a man named Simon. And so after the angel departed, Cornelius gathered his servants, and he sent them out to where the angel told him they would find Simon. Now, meanwhile, while the servants were on their journey to find Simon, a Simon Peter was up on the roof, and he was praying. It was about the sixth hour, and he was hungry. In the sixth hour, that's about noontime. So he's hungry, it's lunchtime, and he's praying. And he begins to have a vision about food. I don't think that's a coincidence that he's hungry and it's lunchtime. And he begins to have a vision about food. He sees all these animals that are unclean in the Jewish faith, according to the Jewish law. And he hears a voice that says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And at first he's like, "No way, no way, because I have never eaten an unclean thing." And then the voice says, "What God has called clean, do not call unclean." And the vision repeats itself three times. And now Cornelius' servants have just arrived at the house where Peter's at. And the voice, and then the Spirit says to Peter that three men are downstairs looking for you. And you are to go with them without any hesitation because I have sent them. And Peter goes with them to Cornelius' house. And then beginning at verse 34, he begins to preach the gospel. And we have to understand that Peter going to Cornelius' house, Peter as a Jew going to Cornelius' house, this would be an unlawful thing because the Jews were not supposed to associate with the non-Jewish people at that time. Now, I bring up this story because God did a lot of talking. And there's different, like, how does God speak? We find at least four ways that God speaks to his people in this story. And the first way is through an angelic visitation. God speaks to us by sending angels to speak to us. And angels can be anything can come in any form, from a donkey to a messenger to a heavenly being. So angel just means messenger, but oftentimes in scriptures we find heavenly beings that stand and sit in the presence of God and who are just like these magnificent, like fearful creatures. But he speaks to us through angels. He speaks to us through circumstances. God used the fact that Peter was hungry to relay something to him. Oftentimes we understand the character of God as our Father when we have children and we go through parenthood and we understand God in a deeper way because we are going through a new circumstance and God reveals something about his character through that circumstance. Well, God was revealing something to Peter through his hunger. And then obviously the audible voice, and it comes in different levels. It comes from a still small voice, a whisper, just a small impression in your heart to just from a voice from the heavens, like when Jesus was being baptized and a voice came out of the heavens and said, "You are my beloved son and with whom I am well pleased." And finally, through preaching the word, because then Peter began to preach and God was speaking to Cornelius and his family through the preaching and through his word. Amen? So it's that simple. God is speaking to us. God is doing great things and God wants us to have a relationship with him. But how do we get to that spot where we hear him? How do we get to that spot where we understand his voice, where we understand that it's him speaking? Because as I told you, I understood the presence of God. I understood that, you know, he's God. I love him. I respect him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But even like growing up, it wasn't until I hit young adulthood that I really started to understand that God was really speaking to me. And it wasn't until when I made the decision to go to Bible college, basically because I had run out of options and all of my friends went a certain direction, and I knew in my heart that I couldn't follow them in that direction. And the only thing that the Lord opened up to me was either follow them in the ways of the world or go to Bible school and serve him. And that was my circumstances talking to me. I didn't hear the audible voice at that moment, but God was speaking to me through my circumstances. I had a choice to make. And God used that time in my life to really like get my attention. And so how do you hear God's voice? Well, the first step is to seek out the Lord. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, a lot of people think, well, God doesn't speak to people because he doesn't speak to me, because I don't hear his voice. So that must mean that God doesn't speak. Now, I want to go back to like, you know, an Italian family and, you know, I want to talk about like, you know, big family meal, everybody's at the table, everybody's talking, everybody's conversing. And then you get to the point in your life where you feel too old to go hang out with mom and pa. So you actually decide, you know, you're going to go and do your own thing with your friends and you're going to leave the family table. Now, just because you're not there at the family table doesn't mean that conversation is not taking place. Now, the rest of the family, because you're from a big Italian family and there's a lot of you, the rest of your family who have not forsaken the family and who are there, they're hearing what the conversation that's taking place. But you're out on your own, you're with your friends. Just because you don't know the conversation doesn't mean it's not taking place. And it's the same way with God. Just because you're not hearing his voice doesn't mean that he's not speaking. It might mean that you need to get your butt over to the family table. It might mean that you need to position yourself to be in a place where you can hear his voice. God is speaking. God makes it clear over and over again in Scripture that he wants a relationship with us. God makes it clear that he's not looking for your offerings and your sacrifices. He's looking for your heart. God makes it clear that he so loved the world that he sent his only son. He sent his, like, at first, he sent his prophets, the messengers, and he sent his angels, and then he sent his only son for us because he wants a progressive, deeper relationship. He wants to grow closer and closer together with us. But when we're distant from him and we don't seek him, when we distract ourselves with other things, that's when we can't hear the voice of God. And that's when we begin to doubt that he's even speaking at all. But he is speaking. And we need to call out to him. We need to actually ask. His word says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. It's that simple. Just spend time in his presence. Spend time with him at the family table, having your bread. The word of the Lord is our daily bread. Spend time with him and he will speak with you. Ask him and he will tell you things. And get rid of the noise, get rid of the distractions. There was a time, so now I'm in Bible school, and I've just finished my first year, and I've made some deep relationships with some friends that meant the world to me. I had only known them for a short time, but we had just developed a great family-like relationship together, and one by one, each of them had reasons to drop out, and they had given up on going to Bible school and whatever God had spoken to them that got them to that place where they needed to be there. They had just forgotten about all those reasons, and they decided that it wasn't for them. They didn't give up on Jesus. I don't want you to think that, but they had given up on the call to Bible school. And I was young and stupid, and I thought, well, maybe I should give up Bible school too. You know, everybody else is doing it. But no, it was because it was just these people meant so much to me, and it hurt me so much that they were all leaving, and I didn't want to be anywhere near there. I didn't want to take part in anything without them. And then God spoke to me and reminded me that it's not about them. It's about me. It's not about these people. You didn't even know these people a year ago, and now you're going to make life decisions based on them. And God told me, no, it's not about them. And I heard God say this to me, but I didn't quite get it. I was still distracted by all the noise. I didn't really realize that he was speaking to me. And so it's about 11:30 at night, and I'm at Burger King with my friends, and one of them is about to drive us home, but there wasn't enough seatbelts in the car. So I said, well, I'm going to do the responsible thing. I'm not getting in this car because there's not enough seatbelts, and if there's an accident or if we get pulled over, I don't want to be responsible for being in a car like this. So I said, you know, I'll pass. And so I took my skateboard, and I skateboarded all the way home, and I got to this hill, and it's dark. It's like close to midnight, and I got to this hill that I never rode down before, And I'm talking on the phone, and I'm approaching this hill, and I'm like, I'm going to take this hill. And I also came back from Blockbuster, which is, for those of you who don't know, that's a place where you get movies. I know we have Redbox nowadays, but before the Redbox days, we had to actually go into a store and before Netflix and all that. So I had rented a movie, and so while I'm talking on the phone and I'm skateboarding down this hill, I'm looking at this movie cover and I'm reading the back of it, and it's practically pitch black outside, and my wheels start to tremble because I start to approach a speed that is just overwhelming to the structure of the skateboard, because I'm going at such a speed, and if I was more experienced as a skateboarder, I might be able to ride it out. But I start to get afraid, and I put my foot down, and instead of gradually letting my foot slide on the pavement, I just put my foot down to a dead stop. And I turn, half of my body is still on the skateboard, and that side of me is going forward, and the other half of me decided we're going to make a dead stop. And the force snaps my leg in half, both bones. And my phone goes flying out of my hand several feet away from me. And ironically, I'm probably about 2 football fields from my apartment. And I can actually see the window where my dad is watching TV from where I am. And I just look up to the sky as if I'm looking to heaven, I'm looking to God, and I just hear a voice say, "Are you done? Are you done running from me? Are you done coming up with excuses not to go back?" It was at a moment where all the distractions didn't mean anything. God had my ultimate attention, and I just looked at him, and he said that to me, "Are you done? Are you ready to go back?" Sometimes we allow ourselves to be distracted by so many things, and I hope that none of you get to the point where God has to actually physically break your leg to get your attention. But that's my story. That's how he got to me that time. Now, fast forward a little bit. There was another time. I had just gotten my heart broken because I had pursued somebody who didn't want anything to do with me. It's not important. But what's important is my situation, where my mind state was. So I had disavowed all women because I did not trust them. I did not care for them. I did not want anything to do with another woman. Because I had gotten my heart broke because somebody had led me to believe one thing and then their actions pointed to another thing. So in comes Danielle into my life, and I see her. And immediately, I'm just like, this girl is bad news. My immediate reaction to seeing her for the first time is that this is the kind of girl that I want. And I'm like, but I disavowed women, so I'm running away. And so I ran away, and then my friend, who is with me, actually invites her to come with us. So that was kind of awkward, but anyway, so, and then in the next couple weeks, I'm still keeping my distance as much as I can because I don't want anything to do with women, especially women that I find attractive, because I can't trust myself. And I'm worshiping at a worship service, and I've gotten to a point where actually, like, where I'm praying to God, and I'm just giving up all of my pain from hurt relationships. I'm giving it up to God, and God is giving me emotional healing. And then God tells me, I'm in the front of the sanctuary, and then God tells me, go into the back of the sanctuary. And then I go to the back, and I have my head bowed, and I'm praying, and then God says, lift up your head. And I lift up my head, and then there's a straight line between me, and then at the altar is Danielle, and she's worshiping. And she's just seeking God. It has nothing to do with me. It's just her and God. And then God tells me, in not so many words, that she's going to be my wife. And I'm like, get out of here. And I start making all these excuses of how it's not God really speaking to me, that it's the flesh and that it's this and that. And I had enough wisdom not to tell her. Until we got into a place in our relationship where she cared to hear that sort of thing. But so I spent the next year just ultimately convinced that I heard God's voice, and ultimately tormented because Danielle wanted nothing to do with a romantic relationship with me. And I got to a point where I told God, well, God, I must have heard wrong, so I'm going to give this back to you now. I didn't hear from you. And then not 2 weeks later, we're talking in a relationship leading towards dating, and which would eventually lead towards marriage, and now we're married. And God spoke to me. So now we're in a relationship, and I need to move to New Jersey. So I quit my job, and I moved back with my mom. And now I need a new job that's going to position me to move to New Jersey. And I applied to like hundreds of jobs on Craigslist, because that's just all I could find. I didn't get one reply, and I'm walking from the beach back to my mom's house, and I'm praying, and I'm like, God, I need something. I'll do anything, whatever it takes. Just get me a job so that I can save up money and get married and move down to New Jersey. And then the Lord says to me, all you had to do was ask. And then he says, I got this. And then not 10 seconds later, I got a phone call from somebody offering me a job. And I was just floored. Now, God wants you to hear his voice. God wants you to know his voice on a daily basis. He wants you to understand him in your personal life. He wants you to grow in intimacy with him. This is how I learned to hear God's voice. So there are some things that God showed me, like some tests. Well, how do you know it's really God and not you? And the first test is the test of Scripture. Now, if what you think God is speaking to you, if it does not line up with his word, his written word, it's probably not God. Because he's not going to contradict himself. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This will tell you if it's your flesh or God. It's able to divide between soul and spirit, what is of your soul and what is of the Holy Spirit. So this is the first test. Second test is the test of faith. God's word says, look among you, among the nations. Behold, I am doing a work that you would not believe if told. And we have that other verse in the New Testament. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you think you hear from God and it doesn't require any faith to believe what God has spoken, I'm sorry, my friend, you probably did not hear from God. When God speaks, it's going to stretch your faith. It's going to increase your faith. It's going to require faith. You know, that whole year of time where I thought, well, I didn't hear from God because the circumstances didn't match up, where, you know, Danielle had no interest in me whatsoever, but I felt God say, she was going to be my wife, and I had to hold on to the faith that, well, God spoke, and then when I ran out of faith and then God acted, I don't know, that's just weird, but this next test, I just call it like the test of desire. I don't know how to really like, how else to really put it, but God's word says that the heart is deceitful and desperately sick. See, as human beings, we like to just fabricate words that suit our own passions and our own sinful desires. But the word says to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The word says that you have not because you ask not, and you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly with the wrong desires. So sometimes our flesh gets involved, and we just fabricate something to suit our natural desires. And if that's taking place, then it's not God's word. But if it is not, then it could be very well God. It doesn't mean that God's not going to say things to you that actually benefit you, because he's a loving father. I thought that I wasn't hearing from God because I have a natural desire to want companionship. I'm not saying that that desire automatically disqualifies from God speaking, because the word says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So, but there's a line where it stops being something that's good and ordained from God, and it starts to become something that's lustful and flesh, like born out of the flesh. And so it's going to require just a growing and maturity and spiritual maturity to really understand that line. But that's the test of desire. And lastly, it's the test of obedience. Don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So I got to the point many times in my life where I heard God speak, and I felt that it was sound, it was scriptural, it was approved by God's word, written word, and it required some faith on my part, because there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea, because you might have some good ideas, but they don't necessarily, they're not from God unless they're God-sized. So I've gotten to the point where I understand it takes faith. It's not something that's just human. It's not coming from an evil desire in me that needs to be checked by the Holy Spirit. But now I just have to go out and do it. And I found when I hear God speak and I actually do something about it, that's when God surprises us. That's when God shows up. That's when God like just takes over. That's when God just totally takes a situation that you're in and just like, you're like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, I did what God told me to do, and then he blessed it that much. So what does God want from you to hear his voice? What do you need to do now? Now we understand hearing his voice a little bit more. So what do we need from this? We need to get in his word. We need to spend time with Jesus, because he wants to speak with you. He wants to have a relationship with you, but that's not going to take place unless you spend time with him. Spend time with him in prayer. Just like Peter on the top of the roof, he was hungry. God knows you're hungry. God knows you have things to do. God knows. But he was praying and he was seeking the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. Get in the word, understand what the word says, because you'll automatically filter out all the noise when you understand what's in his word. You'll be able to filter out the things that are not of God. And allow the Holy Spirit to work on some issues, some character issues in your life. Because it's our character when it's not right, it's our character that keeps us from rightly hearing God's word. Because there's things that we want, that we care about more than we care for the presence of God. And you just have to be obedient. You just have to go out there and you have to just do what he says. I promise you, he'll surprise you. I remember being on street team at Bible school and just God sending us to people, and we would be listening for the Spirit to tell us where to go, who to talk to. And then the Spirit would tell us, like, talk to that person, and then there's always this amount of fear, because we're basically walking up to a stranger and being like, hey, do you want to talk about Jesus Christ? It's intimidating, it's scary, but we would be praying, we would go two by two, and always making sure that one of us is always actively praying while the other one is talking. And it was just when we go to those people that God highlights, there was always a supernatural encounter with Jesus. There was always something happening, but it requires faith. It requires obedience. So that's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready to hear God's voice? Are you ready to immerse yourself in his presence? Are you ready to lay it all down and spend time with him? He wants, it's that simple. All you have to do is spend time with him and ask for him to talk to you, and he'll talk to you. And then just be ready to do something with that. And if anyone needs prayer to really, if anybody feels like there's just stuff blocking the way from hearing God's voice, I want to open up these altars to really, like, lay hands on you and pray that God would open your ears to hear from him. Because over and over in Scripture, it says, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. God wants you to hear from him. God wants you to hear his voice. So I'm actually going to also invite Pastor Mike to come up, and we'll both be praying for people that want to be prayed for.
Scott, if you can come in or play or just get some music. Wanda, would you stand with us? And I want you to worship and just get into that place. And if God is leading you and you want to just spiritually have your eyes open and a heart open to hear what God clearer, we want to anoint you, lay hands, and impart that blessing on you. One thing Jacob said that, you know, talking about positioning yourself to a place to receive, to be able to hear. Thing that jumped out at me is when he shared, you know, about God telling him, just had to ask. Sometimes for us to hear God's voice, God needs to hear from us that we're ready and we're willing. So I want to challenge you right now that if that's you, we just want to pray over you and lay hands on you right now.